Okay, so good morning. Today's class, today's daf is daf Mem Dalet, daf 44. Today's class should be for the Refuah Shalama. Okay, so the Refuah Shalama, all the Chalim, the Chalam, the Dinabat, Miriam, the Nava, the Chalam, 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 מרים הדחיל ודיס מרים חנה נענה מנעום מלכה לסתם את המה עשה בחנה גבר גידו בברכה תן מייסד שכה מנעי יחקוד המנעום בן תמר מחד ישב במנת הרי מנחה יוסה מנעה שבו משום מכנינה ושב בניפן דניה מנדינה שמחה מנעה פרה מנעה מגידו בן הקודש בתחוקו של הגיבן כנדו כנדו נדינה וגל בר מרים קבר אל ישוע ונחה מחנה מלכה בת עשר הרב שלמה בן שמסי מנחם דוד בן רבי בן רבקה להבדיל לנשמת דוד בן אליהו, בנימין ונצחן כדי אדם ומדפיים שאומרים ישראל מן אמת המתן, בועז בן אברהם, דינה בת אמרות אמר ברכה בן אברהם, יום טוב בן יוסף, להבדיל לנריון דברם בן מרים.
משה בן רפאל.
לדוי נשמת, גם לדוי נשמת, משה בן רפאל.
גם אמי מורתי שרה בת ישעיהו.
וגם שרה בת ישעיהו. אוקיי. We are beginning. We left off at the top of 44a. Today's daf is Mem Dalet. Daf Mem Dalet. Again, we're going to continue with Hashem doing the 1 minute recap at the end. So if a person gets lost, lo nora, it's not so bad. You can hold off, and with Hashem, it's today's daf is it's going to be chopped into three parts. So at the end of the daf, with Hashem, we're going to give a 1 minute recap to go over. We left off at the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, 44a at the top of the page, three lines on the top of the page. Okay, Amar Mor. So Mor comes and says. Right, we were talking about on yesterday's Amud, at the end of yesterday's Amud, we're talking about if someone comes with two ketubas. She has two ketubas. One says 200, one says 300. One's an earlier date, and one is a later date. So what does she do? So the Gemara now is coming to say, if she wants, she can collect this one, she can collect the 200 zuz with the first date, or if she wants, she can collect the 300 with the second date, the second ketubah. So the Gemara says, Lema pliga de Rav Nachman. Let's say this opinion is disagreeing with the opinion of Rav Nachman. Okay? We're on the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. De Amar Rav Nachman, Shnei Shtarot, if a person has two documents, let's say for example, of a field, one was a document that the field was sold, one is the document that the field was given to him as a gift. And the Gemara says, Hayotzin beze achar ze. And the documents come one after another. They're not given together, they're given one after another. Yeah, different times. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman's opinion, Bitel sheni et harishon, the second document, comes and is mevatel, the first document. Because assumingly, he's saying the first document wasn't good. So I'm bringing a second one to replace the first one. So this opinion is disagreeing with the opinion we just said, that the person can collect either the first or the second, whichever one they want. That's not the case. We're saying the second one is disagreeing with the first one. So the Gemara says, no. Lav mi itmar Allah, was it not taught on that? Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, Umoder Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman agrees, De'i osif be'dikla, that if let's say he added a palm tree, he added one thing into the second document in the field, then we can assume, le'tosefet katve, he added it for a tosefet. It was something added. It wasn't the same document in it. The first one is a mistake. So hachaname, so too in our case, ha'osif lamidi, he added something on to the second one by giving her 300 now rather than 200. So you can understand that it's not that the second one is coming to mevatel the first one. The second one is coming to add on to the first one. So the Gemara goes back, Kufa. Amar Rav Nachman, we just said Rav Nachman's opinion, Shnei Shtarot, if you have two documents, Hayotzin Baze Acharze, they come one after another, Bitel Sheni Et HaRishon, the second document is Mevatel, the first one. So Amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, Umoder Rav Nachman agrees, Dei Yosif Be'dikla, if he adds on a tree to the second document, the Tosefet Katve, that he added it for a Tosefet. So the Gemara comes and says, we're analyzing this phrase, this document, this whole paragraph we just said. Pshita, the Gemara says it's obvious. Rishon bemecher, v'sheni bematana. If the first document was given as a gift, and the second one was given, the first document was a sale, and the second document was written as a gift, what was that done for? Liyapot kochohu dekatavle. It was in order to strengthen his power. Mishum dina de bar mitzra. Because of the power of bar mitzra. What is bar mitzra? The bar mitzra is a whole concept. The Gemara Rashi explains it, but it's really a whole concept in our Torah. The Torah says, "V'hayashar be'inav, v'asita yashar be'inav." Right? How does the pasuk say? V'asita yashar ve'atov. Yes, atov yashar. So from that pasuk, the Chachamim understand that let's say I'm going to purchase a field, okay? And next to this field, there's a neighbor who owns the field right next to it, and I know that this neighbor wants is trying to purchase the field that I'm trying to purchase, right? I shouldn't go after that field and take it away from him, because he has much more, there's much more of an opportunity for him when he has two fields right next to each other. So what does the Torah say? You should asita yashar. You should do what's good in the eyes of Hashem.
The right of first refusal.
Right, exactly. And you should not go forward to try to be, you know, actively trying to grab that field and buy that field. Why? So that that neighbor can come and he can acquire that field for himself. Okay, and there's a whole concept. If a person went and bought it, can the neighbor come and, you know, take it from him? Right. So it's a whole discussion amongst the poskim. So what he's saying over here, if it's given b'matana, when a field is given as a gift, then the bar mitzvah, the neighbor can never come and take it from you. If it was sold, the neighbor has a ta'ana. He can come and say, oh no, I want to take this from you. I was trying to purchase it. This is next to my field. Why are you taking it from me? So on and so forth. Right? But if it was given as a gift, the neighbor can, there's no din of bar mitzvah, Rashi says, by a matana. So that's why he's saying, if it was given as a gift, as a second document, he's trying to strengthen the guy. V'kol sheken, and how much more so the Gemara says, Rishon b'matana, if the first document was a gift, v'sheni b'mecher, and the second document was written as a sale, de'amrinon, what do we say? Mishum dina de'ba'al chov hu de'katavken. Why did he write it like that? He wrote it for the Baal Chov. That let's say, for example, the neighbor, the Bar Mitzvah, comes and says, okay, I want to take my field now. The second one was a sale. So he comes and takes his field. So he wrote it in this way so that the guy can come back to the person who has the document written to him, the Baal Chov, who, you know, has a sale given to him, and say, hey, look, this guy's taking my field back. Give me my money back. So he can now accredit that and take his money back based on that being a sale. Right? Versus if it was a gift, you can't do that. Right? If it's a sale, you can come back and say, give me my money back. I didn't acquire the land. So that's why in these two cases, the second document wouldn't be coming in mivateling the first document. Ella, ish shnehem b'mecher. If both documents were written as a sale, or shnehem b'matana, or let's say both documents were written as a gift, then bitel sheni et arishon, then the second document would come and nullify the first document. Why? What's the reason? So two opinions. Mai ta'ama, Rafram Amar, Rafram says, Emar Oduye Odi Lei. He would say, maybe the reason is because the man maybe is admitting to it. Maybe he's agreeing to say that, hey, you know, really the first document was forged, that's why I'm writing a second document. So maybe that's why, if it's the exact same document, one is Mecher, the second one is Mecher, one is Matana, the second one is Matana. The second one is coming to nullify the first one because he says, he admits the first one was forged. That's answer number one. Rav Acha says, Emar achule achle shibude. No, what's the reason why the first one doesn't count anymore? It's because he's saying, maybe now that he's giving a second one, he's coming to say, I am foregoing on my on the lien that I have on the first, on the lien that's in the first one. So therefore, the first one is as if it's not there anymore. So now, what's the difference between these two opinions? The first one said, he's admitting it is forged. The second opinion is saying, no, he's letting go of the lien. So which one? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, my benayu, what's the difference? Ike benayu, there's three differences. Orue saade, how can we know if the witnesses are kasher or not? So according to the first opinion, we said that the document was forged, the witnesses are pasul. According to the second opinion, he says that he foregoed, so therefore the witnesses are still kasher. Shalume pire, second difference would be to pay what the buyer profited, what he benefited between the first time in Zman Rishon, Rashi says, l'sheni, to the second time. Between the first document's time to the second document's time. So according to Rafram, according to the first opinion, he would have to pay. The guy would have to pay because it was a forged document. So it wasn't correct, the first one. According to the second opinion, it wasn't a forged document. He just foregoed on a lien. So the guy who acquired it from that time, the first document's time, the second document's time, that time period, he wouldn't have to pay according to the second opinion. And the third difference is ula taska, for property tax, right?
Taska, taxa.
Rashi says, Lifroa masa karka la melech, to pay the property tax to the king, mizman rishon lizman sheni, from the first time of the document to the second time of the second document. So according to Rafram, the first opinion, who said that it was the first document was forged, so it has to go on the seller, because he forged the document. So he has to pay that property tax. Whereas according to the second opinion, says it wasn't forged, you just let go on it, the buyer has to pay the property tax. Because it wasn't a forged document. So you have to pay the property tax from the first document's time to the second document's time. These would be the three differences. So first part of the daf already so far, we went over essentially a case of two ketubot. If you have two ketubot, does the second ketubah come in mevatel the first ketubah? Okay, we'll come back. Second part of the daf. May have ala le diktubah. What was the case of the ketubah? Meaning, when does a person come and actually is gove? When does a woman be able to collect her ketubah? At what point in the marriage? So tashma. Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. He says in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Maneh Umatayim Min Erusin. the 100 or 100 zuz in the ketubah, that's from betrothal. V'tosefet, the extra, the 100 that's added, mina nisuin, that's from marriage. V'chachamim say, echadze mina nisuin. Both of them you collect only after marriage. V'ilcheta, and the halacha is, echadze v'echadze mina nisuin. That one and the same, they are both collected only after marriage, like the opinion of the chachamim. So,
but say, if you're not getting married, you're not chayav.
Meaning, once, if you're not getting married, right, the Mishnah said that really it goes to the father. Right, he's trying to say that really the collecting aspect only comes after there is marriage. Right? Okay. New Mishnah. Okay, so that was the second part. Pretty much, it was two different parts. First part was two ketubot. Second part was talking about the case of when the collection actually happens. New Mishnah. Hagi'oret shenit garab bita ima. If you have a convert who her daughter converts with her, and the daughter is engaged, okay, vezinta, and then she goes and sleeps around. I raise over chenek. She receives.
Rebecca was born after she became giyoret.
She was born, and then they both became giyoret. So they were both alive goyim. They became giyoret.
Convert,
yeah. And then she slept with someone while she was engaged. I raise over chenek. She gets chenek. Strangulation, not skila. Why? Rashi says. V'afilin itgayra pechuta mibat shalosh shanim debechizkat betulahi. She's a for sure chazaka skila. And when do we say skila? Rashi says. It's only when it's a Jewish betrothed girl. She wasn't born Jewish, so she doesn't receive sekila. Be'Israel, exactly. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Ein la petach beit av. She doesn't have the mitzvah of, like the Pasuk says, we take her out of the house of her father and we stone her over there, we kill her over there. She doesn't have that mitzvah because she wasn't born Jewish. And number three, hariz velo mea sela. She also does not receive the 100 sela if, let's say, the husband is found to be, the witnesses that he brought are edim zomemin. They were lying witnesses. So what do we say? Loke umishalem, according to Rabbi Meir. Right? It's big machloke in the Mishnah Masechet Makot. But over there, I think the Mishnah over there brings down, according to Rabbi Meir, that the person, the man, would receive lashes, and he would have to pay 100 sela if he testified that this girl was, let's say, she cheated on him, but it wasn't true.
What sela? Right? Sela
shekel. Sela is, I think it's a lower value. Here, she says, in Sabbat, no, it doesn't say how much it is. I don't know exact value how much a sela is, but let's see if he says anything over here. I'll check after. It's a good question. But anyhow, she doesn't receive the 100 sela because she wasn't born Jewish. That's case number one. Case number two. Ha'ita horata shelo b'kdusha. If she was conceived as a non-Jew, v'leidata b'kdusha, but the mother converted and she was born Jewish, so then what happens? Harezo b'skila. If she cheated, she receives sekila.
Jewish.
Yeah. Ve'en la petach beitav, but she still does not have the mitzvah of being stoned outside the father's house. Ve'lo mea sela, she also does not receive the 100 sela of the husband if the husband was lying. And the edim zomemin were lying. Case number three: Ha'ita horata v'leidata b'kdusha. If the conception and the birth were both when she was Jewish, when the mother was Jewish, arehi kibad Yisrael kol devara. She's completely Jewish, okay? And therefore, she would be receiving sekila, killed outside the father's house, and she received 100 sela. Yesh la avi. She has a father. Ve'en la petach beitav. But they don't have, let's say, a home. Or yesh la petach beit av, they have a home, ve'en la av, she doesn't have a father, harezo v'skila, she just receives stoning, because lo ne'emar petach beit avia, it doesn't say petach beit avia, the house of the entrance of the father, ela la mitzvah, rather that's the best place, you should stone her, but if they don't have a house, or if she doesn't have a father, so it's not obligation to do it right outside the house, that's just where it was saying, there's more publicity, so you should kill her at that spot because of what she did. Okay, Gemara, flipping the amud. From where do we know? From where do we know what? So Rashi says, "Shehorata shelo b'kdusha v'leidata b'kdusha b'skila." How do we know that if she was conceived not a Jew, but she was born as a Jew, that she receives sekila? Because we know only if she's completely Jewish that she receives sekila for cheating. So Amar Ish Lakish, the Amar Kra, the pasuk says, "Vameta." It adds the word "vameta." So what is that? Lerabot is coming to add. Horata shelo b'kdusha v'leidata b'kdusha. Coming to add a woman who was conceived not Jewish but born Jewish that she receives sekila. So the Gemara says, Iachi, if that's the case, milka nami lilke umea sela nami l'shalem. So also that type of woman, we should also give the lashes to the man, and she should receive her 100 sela if the man was lying. Why do we say she's not a full-fledged Jew? So Amar Kra, the pasuk says, v'meta. It says it's talking about death that the word adds. Lemita nitrapta. The Torah adds for her a case of death, meaning she receives sekila if it's true, but not a case of a fine if it's not true.
Tough commentary.
Right. Why don't we say it's talking about a case that she was conceived and born Jewish? So the Gemara says, "Hahi Israel Maliatahi." Someone who was conceived and born Jewish is a complete, full-fledged Jew. What's the question? So the Gemara says, "Ve'ema lerabot." Maybe let's say the pasuk is adding horata ledata shelo b'kedusha. Why don't we say it's adding a case of if she was conceived and born non-Jewish that she received sakila, right? So the Gemara says, "Imken." If that's the case, be'Israel mayahani le. Why do we need the word be'Israel? She was born in Israel. It was within Israel. She wasn't born within Israel then. So clearly that doesn't make sense. Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina. He goes on something else. He says now, Hamotzi Shemra Aliyat Toma. So essentially this Mishnah is talking about a case of a man who comes and is Motzi Shemra. He speaks bad about the woman, saying that she cheated. And we're trying to find out if it's true or not. And it's depending, it's three cases, depending on if she was conceived Jewish and born Jewish, she was conceived non-Jewish but born Jewish, or she was not conceived Jewish or not born Jewish, but she converted. Three different cases. So the Gemara comes down to this and says, Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina. What if someone says that an orphan cheated, and then it's not true? So the Gemara says, patur. The man, or he says, like, let's say she does not have a virginity. He brings out a bad name on her, and it wasn't true. So the Gemara says, patur. He's exempt from paying the fine. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, v'natnu le'avi ha'ne'ara. You give to the father of the girl. Prat lezo she'en la'av, excluding this girl who does not have a father. So she doesn't receive the fine because she is an orphan. Meitiv Rabbi Yossi Baravin, he has a contradiction. It's understanding that let's say there's no father at all. Okay? Meitiv Rabbi Yossi Baravin, ve'item Rabbi Yossi Bar Zveda, some say it's Rabbi Yossi Bar Zveda, he has a contradiction. Ve'ima'en yima'en, it says, if the father completely refuses to give her as a girl, as a wife, avia, he refuses, what is that coming to add? The double language? Lerabot yetoma leknas, coming to add an orphan that she does receive a fine. You see, Rabbi Yossi says that the girl who is talked about and that she's spoken bad about, she does receive a fine if it's not true. So you see that what? This is contradicted to what we just said. We just said she does not receive a fine. So the Gemara says, "Hu motivla v'hu mefarekla." He asked the contradiction, Rabbi Yossi, and he's going to answer the contradiction. What is it talking about? Beba aleya v'charkach nityatma. We're talking about a case that the man slept with her, and only afterwards did she become a yetoma. So in that case, there would be a knas, there would be a fine.
She gets it.
Right, it would go to the next person, meaning depending on if they went to the Beit Din and the father was still alive, or they only went afterwards when the father was dead. That's a whole enough coming up. But essentially, that's a case where he slept with her, and only afterwards she became an orphan. That's when she would receive a fine, if it wasn't true that he said a bad name, meaning he spoke Lashon Hara about her. But if she was an orphan when he married her, and then he spoke Motzi Shemra, then there would be no fine. Rava says, Chayav, you would actually be liable. And this is the halakha. If a person speaks, says the woman was not a virgin, and she was an orphan, he has to pay the fine, if it's not true. Mimai, where do we know that? Midetane Ami, from which Ami taught. It says in the Pasuk, Betulat Israel, a virgin of Israel. Velo Betulat Gerim, and not a virgin of a convert. So the Gemara brings an important point. I amart, if you say bishlama ki hay gavna bi Israel mechayev, that it makes sense in this way that with a Jew with this orphan, it would be the person would be liable to pay. So haynu, that's why we need the pasuk the itzterich kra lemaute gerim. We need the pasuk to exclude converts, right? We're understanding the Gemara's understanding based on Rashi that a convert, right, a ger ki katan shenolad dame, it's like a newborn child. So he's saying a ger is like an orphan. It's like a baby boy. It's like a newborn human being. So if you're looking at a ger as like an orphan, you would think that if we're excluding gerim, we're saying gerim, or if we're saying that the orphan who's spoken bad about, she really does receive a fine, that's why we need to say that gerim would not receive a fine, to exclude them, right? But, ela, I amart, if you say, Be'Israel ka'igavna patur, that this type of case, she would actually, the orphan would be exempt from receiving a fine. So hashta bi Israel patur. She's a Jewish woman. She's an orphan, and she doesn't receive a fine. So begerim mibaya. You think a convert would receive a fine? Why do you need the pasuk to exclude converts if the orphan who's a Jew doesn't receive the fine by spoken bad about? Really, you understand? So if we're saying that the pasuk is saying betulat Israel, it has to be a virgin Jewish girl to receive the fine. What if she was a virgin convert? The Gemara says no. Why do we need that exclusion? The only reason we would need such an exclusion is if I would have thought that every Jew would receive a fine, but then I can understand that a convert would not. But if I know that an orphan does not receive a fine if the husband comes and says she wasn't a virgin and he's lying, so if the orphan who's a Jew does not receive a fine, how much more so anyone who converted who wasn't Jewish should not receive a fine, and therefore you would not need the pasuk.
Maybe you want to do gerim, how do you know?
But the Gemara understands that as a kol sheken, that how much more so that a convert would not receive the fine if a Jew would not receive the fine. So why do you need the pasuk? So clearly it must be that you would need, if you would give a fine to this orphan. Okay. Hashtab Yisrael patur begerim mibaya. Do you even need to ask about gerim? Very good. Amarish Lakish, Rish Lakish says, Hamotzish Shemra ala Ketana. If someone says that a young girl, he slept with a young girl and he says she was not a virgin, Patur, he's exempt from paying the fine. Shneimar, Venatanu, the Avia Na'ara, you have to give the money to the father of the girl. Na'ara Maledi Berakatuv. The Pasuk says Na'ara with a hey at the end. Remember, we learned earlier, when it has Na'ara with a hey, we know it's talking about, it's excluding, it's not Dafka. Talking about a younger girl, it's talking only about Dafka, an older girl. So the Gemara brings Matkifla. He says, contradiction. Rav Acha Bar Abba, he has a contradiction. Ta'ama dichtiv ba, the reason why we're saying this, it says, Hana'ara. Says anara completely a full with the hay. Ha love hachi. If it didn't say it like that, hava amena afilu ketana. I would have thought that even a young girl under bat mitzvah is included in this. Fine. So the Gemara says haktiv. What we say in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk v'im emet haya hadavar. If it was true, hazeh, this matter was true. Lo nintu betulim lanara, that the girl was not actually a virgin. They said, the husband said she was not a virgin, and they found that she was not a virgin. V'hotziu etanara al petach beit avia. They take her out of her father's home. Uskalua, and they stone her. This is what the pasuk says. So the Gemara says, "V'ketana lav bat onashinhi." But a young girl is not liable to punishment, not liable to stoning. She's not chayav in mitzvot yet. So if you're trying to prove to me, and in this pasuk, how does the word na'ara full with a hay? So if you're trying to say that na'ara is really the reason, because it says na'ara completely with the hay, that's coming to exclude a young girl. Why does it need to tell us that stoning? We know it from stoning, from the aspect that we're stoning the girl, that it cannot be talking about a girl under bat mitzvah, because she's not liable to stoning. So you cannot prove that the na'ara with the hay is coming to teach you that it's excluding a ketana. So what is the lesson over here? The Gemara says, elakan na'aran, because over here it says na'ara with the hay, you can understand, hakol makom shne'emar na'ara, anytime it says na'ara without the hay in the Torah, afilu ketana b'mashma, it's including the child. That's the lesson it's coming to teach us. So it's a full lesson it's coming to teach us in all the Torah. Anytime it says na'ara without the hay, it's coming to teach us that the ketana is included. But not necessarily if it says na'ara with the hay, that it would be talking specifically about an adult. That's what it's trying to prove over here. Okay? And I think we'll stop there for today, but just a 1 minute recap. We started the daf today with the first part of the daf talking about two ketubot. We explained that we are asking a question if the second ketubah comes in the hotel, it nullifies the first ketubah. We explained that that's only whenever it's the same document, essentially it's both a mecher or it's both a matana. And we gave two reasons, Rav Ram and Rav Acha, why that would be, if it was because he admitted that it was forged or he foregoed on the lien. That was the first part of the Gemara. And the second part of the daf today was about when does the woman collect the fine, we brought a machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar said that you received the 1 or 200 from Erusin, and the Tosefet is from Nisuin. The Chachamim said no, everything is from Nisuin. And then the majority of the remainder of the daf was about Hamotzi Shemra. If a man speaks negatively, he says this woman cheated, or this woman was not a virgin, right? And the three cases that Mishnah brought, either she was not born or conceived as a Jew, but she converted. She was conceived as a non-Jew, born as a Jew, or she was conceived and born as a Jew. Three different cases, three different nafkaminot, and the Gemara went through many different cases as to, if an orphan is included in the fine, if a young girl is included in the fine. Essentially, the Gemara came out to prove different opinions, two different opinions by an orphan, and we brought also an opinion by the Ketana, trying to explain that the Ketana would be exempt, because the Pasuk, anytime the Pasuk writes Ketana, Na'ara, without the hay, it's including a Na'ara, it's including a young girl, whereas if it writes it with the hay, it could be that it's not including the young girl. So that's what the Gemara tried to prove, and that's pretty much these three parts. Again, two ketubot, when does she collect the ketubah, and Hamotzi Shemra speaking bad about the girl, and the aspect of the fine, depending on when she was Jewish, at which point. Okay, Baruch Adonai Adonam, Amen.